Is Gioni. Good evening. Welcome once again to Education at the Crossroads. I am Basir Mchawi, and well, this week I am here. With me now, we have Dr. Brenda Green from the Center for Black Literature at Megar Evers College, part of the City University of New York in Brooklyn, where it is headquartered, Bedford Avenue. Most people know it as being Bedford Avenue. Bedford Avenue has almost become somewhat synonymous with Megar Evers College in terms of a place. So it's there. And we've got Dr. Brenda Green, who is the founder of the Center for Black Literature, along with, well, a history, which we want to get into a little bit. And she's here to talk about a literary salon, which is going to be taking place on September 28th. I call her Brenda because I've known her for a long time. I was a junior at New York University when she was coming in as a freshman, and we've been friends and acquaintances and colleagues and everything else ever since. And well, it's also interesting because the Black students from that particular era are now meeting regularly. We had an in-person reunion in Harlem back in June, and we see we have some work to do in terms of correcting some misinformation and missing history in terms of Black student activism at New York University. But anyway, Brenda, what's happening? How are you doing? Yep, you got to unmute yourself. You are
greetings, greetings, Basir. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. Well, listen, always happy to have you and talk about what's happening in terms of the Center for Black Literature. First, before we talk about the salon, I think it's important that we talk about the founding of the center, and we talk about, well, John Oliver Killens. I have to say, I used to go ahead, you know, when I was like between high school and you know, my early years in college or whatever. I mean, I used to go ahead and grab up different kinds of books. And, you know, we would be in different places and we would find books, you know, by Black authors. So, you know, I would find Chester Himes, If He Hollers, Let Him Go. We found all different kinds of things. And one of the things I found is And Then We Heard the Thunder by John Oliver Killens, which is a masterpiece which talks about the reality of being African and being a soldier in the U.S. Army during World War II. It's an amazing, amazing piece. It's there. And that was my introduction to John Oliver Killens. Talk about his importance to the Center for Black Literature.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned, And Then We Heard the Thunder, which is the name of a book of proceedings we have that represent the conference. Mm-hmm. So John Oliver Killens was the writer in residence at McGrevers College in the 1980s. And he had a vision that she should bring Black writers together every year and talk about the trends in Black literature, and also to celebrate authors, showcase Black authors across the genres. He had done that at Howard University at the New School. He actually started at Howard University. When he moved back to New York, he decided to continue that tradition at McGrevers College. So we had our first National Black Writers Conference at McGrevers College in 1986. And unfortunately, John Oliver Killens passed away in 1987. But the conference continued. It was under the Humanities Division. It was a division. And, you know, it takes a lot of resources, a lot of people to host a conference. Realized we could not do it every year. And so there was a conference held in 86, 88, 91, 96, and then 2000. And that at that point, Elizabeth Nunez, who had been directing the conference, said, I want to focus on my writing. I had been working with her coordinating the conference, and I became the director of the conference. At that time, I also wanted to institutionalize a way to make sure that we had the conference every year. So I wrote the proposal to found the Center for Black Literature, and that was founded in 2002. And part of that mission was to institutionalize the conference, to hold literary readings, to have publications, to do youth programs. We have a variety of activities. You can see them all at our website, centerforblackliterature.org. I encourage people to go on the website. But we wanted to also make sure that we reminded people about John Oliver Killens. So we created the Killens Reading Series, which is held once a month. We bring emerging and contemporary writers together to talk about the issues, the themes in their books, and to have interactions with audiences. We do it online and we do it in person. We also have a journal called the Killens Journal of Arts and Letters, which brings together essays, fiction, short stories, poetry. That's published biannually. And it is sold at whenever we have in-person events, we sell it. And it's also online at the African American Literature Book Club website, which is the largest African American book club online. It's AALBC. So you can purchase our journal. And we also, for the first two conferences that I hosted, we published the proceedings, and we decided to call them And Then We Heard the Thunder. Of course, you know, that book had a transformative experience on me because I really did not know that story. Mm-hmm. And it's such a powerful story. We had not published And Then We Heard the Thunder since 2004, and now we are publishing it again. It should be available online in November, hopefully. And it's going to represent the scholarly papers that we host at our conference, a selection of scholarly papers, because we are for promoting Black literature and also research in Black literature and youth. So we do a number of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk about the mission, especially in the context of the things that are taking place now.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we've got books being banned. I know mm-hmm. some of the authors who've been through the center and the conferences, their books have been banned in Texas and Florida. You've got these issues in regards to, once again, the erasure of history. You know, and we say it's not necessarily, Black history or African-American history or African history. It's history. You know, it just is, because when you start talking about what African people have done in the world and, of course, in North America, it is American history. And to attempt to try to go ahead and delete it, as you know, just makes absolutely no sense. But, of course, it feeds the ignorance which, some of these crazy people who are in leadership positions in the Republican Party, it's very clear that they feed on ignorance and that they depend on the ignorance of their followers to go ahead and be in the positions they are actually taking the kinds of positions that they take, you know, politically, socially, culturally, and for that matter, economically, because I guess we can't even, not talk about economics in regards to what happens. How do you see what the center does in this context of things that happen?
Well, as you said, we need a center for Black literature now more than ever, with the number of books being banned, with the voices that are being silenced, with I've heard stories of people, faculty members at college, professors who have to have their syllabi reviewed before they can teach the courses, and having their books, any books pertaining to the Black experience in this country and in the diaspora, removed from the curriculum. We have to be very proactive. One of the things we do is in our programs, in our youth programs, for example, we've used books that have been banned. We have to resist this. And it's interesting you talk about erasure. One of the people we're celebrating and who we're honoring at the 17th National Black Writers Conference is Percival Everett. And he has this novel called Erasure, which feeds on the whole concept of the ignorance that people would rather buy into rather than have a book that's written that's an authentic experience of Blacks in America. He comes up with all of the stereotypes and decides, after not being able to have his books published, he comes up with these stereotypes. And then, of course, that's the book that gets published, because that is a distortion of the truth. When you look at the whole idea of critical race theory, it's just amazing how people have turned that inside out. And so if we don't tell our stories, if we don't resist and make sure that those books are in our classrooms and in our curriculum in college, no one will. And we have to have a place to educate and discuss how this is impacting the lives of our young people who come of age, not having been exposed to any Black and Brown writers. That's the responsibility that we have. And as I said, it has to be a proactive responsibility. I mean, that's why it's really exciting that we have to look at the past and build on what we know about the past and educate people now. And that's why it's so exciting to have the republishing of Black Fire. You remember Black Fire? Yeah. And, I was just reading Peniel Joseph. He's another writer we're honoring at the conference. He's book The Third Reconstruction. And I also was talking with Ahmed Abdullah. I think we are in a third reconstruction, which means that as soon as you have, you're looking at the fact, as soon as it appears that we have people recognizing and respecting the Black experience in this country, and, you know, having elected, we elected a Black president, you have this white backlash. And that's the same thing that happened after Reconstruction. In the first Reconstruction, it happened after the Civil Rights Movement. And then it happened after, you know, Obama. And so you had the rise in Black Lives Matter. You have people advocating more. It's a different Reconstruction, but it's forcing the white supremacists doing and racists doing is forcing people to come together and to say, we have to make sure that our stories are told.
For sure. Talk about the literary salon. Where is it happening? When is it happening?
Okay, so
get further information.
I encourage people to come out to the literary salon. It's actually the Killens Literary Salon. Again, tribute to Killens, John Oliver Killens. And we call it a salon because we're bringing writers together And we're starting with a reception at 5:30. It will be held in collaboration with the Museum of Contemporary African Diasporic Arts, Diasporan Arts, Makata, otherwise known as Makata. That's at 80 Hanson Place. And we will have conversations with four writers, two of whom were in the original Black Fire. Black Fire is edited by Kim McMillan, and Ishmael Reed has done the foreword. But the two people who were in the original Black Fire are Judy Juanita, who's a poet and a playwright, a novelist, an essayist. She's well known for the novel Virgin Souls. She'll be coming to Makata on September the 28th from 5:30 to 8:30. And we also have Quincy Troop, who was in the original Black Fire. And he's known, you know, much very well as a poet. He's, you know, extremely accomplished poet, but he also wrote the autobiography of Miles Davis, you know, which talks about his interview. We also have Keisha Gay Anderson, who is a poet, writer, and visual artist. And she is the author of Gathering the Waters, Everything is Necessary. She'll be featured. And also James E. Cherry, who's a novelist, Shadow of Light, Edge of the Water, Still a Man. So there are over 100 authors in this this anthology. People will have an opportunity to hear writers in conversation that looks at Black Fire this time, looks at the Black arts movement, looks at the trajectory of where it's where it was in the 1970s, and looks at what's happening now and how relevant it is now. I imagine those will be the conversations, you know, the fact that we still need to make sure that we have novels, we have anthologies such as this. So I encourage people to come out. You have to register. It's free. But you have to register, and if you go to our website, www.centerforblackliterature.org, you can register online, come early, come to the reception, mill around, interact with the writers, then we'll have the conversations, and you'll be able to pick up the anthology and have the book signed. So it's going to be a really exciting evening. It's part of what the Brooklyn Book Festival calls the bookend event. The Brooklyn Book Festival will be held on, the main day is Saturday, October the 1st. So there are events that happen before the festival and afterwards. So this is in partnership also with the Brooklyn Book Festival. So it's the Center for Black Literature, the Brooklyn Book Festival, and the and Makata were hosting this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I just wanted to also say that at the Brooklyn Book Festival, you can look at this as a package deal. At the Brooklyn Book Festival, the Center for Black Literature will have a table. I encourage people to come. It's the largest book festival, I think, in New York City. And we are featuring three writers who've been associated with the Center for Black Literature. Donna Hill is the author of a number of novels. She has a new novel called I Am Aya, The Way Home. She'll be doing a signing at the at our Center for Black Literature table. Jamila Chisholm, she's done a memoir on the community on growing up Muslim. And Kia Cawthorn, who's a novelist and a playwright. She did a really interesting book on looking at historical novel, which I love, looking at the relationships between Blacks, the Blacks and the Irish around in the early 1900s, and looking at the late 1800s, and looking at what happened. So we have a nice package deal coming up. The 28th, September 28th, we want to see you there at the Literary Salon. Support our writers. That's part of what we do. You know, we say support BAI, but support our writers too, because our writers are our truth sayers. They are storytellers. They are making sure that our voices are heard and that our history is documented.
Sure. That's at Makata. Well, as far as the Literary Salon, many of you may know it. It's on 80 Hanson Place. It's kind of near Brooklyn Academy of Music.
Yes.
Go ahead and Hanson Place, you know, kind of adjoins the almost the rear of Brooklyn Academy of Music. I mean, it's right there. And it's like by South Portland Avenue, if I remember correctly. And you can go to Mocada, but you've got to register, as I said. So you've got to go to the Center for Black Literature website to go ahead and do that. Hey, yeah. Brenda.
Thank you. I just want to say, look on our website. We have the 17th National Black Writers Conference coming up, and we're honoring Percival Everett, Paul Coates from Black Classic Press, Bernice McFadden, and Peniel Joseph, who did. So we honor, and then we are opening it on March 20th with a talk with Michael Eric Dyson and Farrah Jasmine Griffin. We also have a conversation with Taya Miles, and we have some big names. Edwige Dondercat is going to be there, Mark Lamont Hill, Victoria Christopher Murray. We have some publishers. It'll be an exciting time. So I encourage people to stay tuned for that.
All right.
And I thank you so much, Bessie.
Right, we got it in, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
All right.